ancient words, changing me, changing you. The Bible tells the story of the coming of the kingdom of God that calls us in Christ Jesus to find our place in that story. And part of the story as well is the last days. And so we're considering that tonight. Scripture reading is Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll read the first four verses. 1862 in your pew Bible. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, page 1862. I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation responds together, saying, "Thanks be to God." In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, and many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word tonight. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, so tonight I begin a series on the last days. It's a worthy topic. In our evening services, I usually go through the confessions. I have gone through the Heidelberg Catechism. I've gone through the Belgic Confession. Just last Sunday, I completed a series, a study of the Canons of Dort. It's good to study our confessions. I plan to look at them again in the future, but there's no harm in putting them aside for a time as well, to look at something else. Tonight, I begin a study then of the last days. Eschatology. That's what we study. It's a word we should know. Eschatology. Ology means the study of, and eschaton refers to the end. And so eschatology is the study of the end times. It's an important topic. History is moving towards a particular goal. The kingdom of Jesus Christ is coming, and we are called to long for it. We're called to pray for it, but we can only do that if we know a little bit what we are to expect. There's a lot of confusion over this area of study. There are many wild and weird theologians and teachers out there. They're on the television, they're on the internet, they're also in the bookstores. We need to be warned to watch out for all these weird teachers. Some people think that they can predict the time and the date of Christ's return. That's impossible. Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 36, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Others think they can know exactly what's all going to happen in the end. It's all figured out. It's all simple. And so they're sure about the millennium and about the tribulation and the rapture and the Antichrist and all the different numbers like 666 and whatever else. They read the Bible in the one hand, they got the newspaper in the other hand, and everything is perfectly clear to these teachers. In our series, we hope to be a little more cautious than that. Fact is, this is a very complex and mysterious topic. We're talking about things outside of our common everyday experience. And so in our series, we'll be examining and emphasizing only those things that the Christian church has always been quite sure of. Some things are sure. Quick question. Do we in the Christian Reformed Church talk about the last days very much? Do we preach on this enough? Some people might say that we don't. So allow me to comment on that. It's true that we generally do not spend a whole lot of our time speculating over all the little details in the book of Revelation, let's say. We try not to design a big grand scheme of how the end is exactly going to happen. We think that's a little too bold. Humility is what we need when it comes to interpreting the last days. But is it true that we don't think about the last days, or that we don't care about the last days? I think we do. And the proof is that we preach the gospel. It's precisely because the end is coming, because Jesus Christ is coming again, that's why we tell people about Jesus Christ. And we call sinners to repent and to believe in him before it's too late. That's our great eschatological responsibility. Our job, our great eschatological responsibility, is not to try to figure out, predict every little detail of the future. Our job is to preach the gospel. Once God is done doing that through his church, then the end will come. Matthew 24, verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come, says Jesus. As a denomination, we are settled on a number of teachings concerning the last days, and that's what we'll talk about then in this series. What I will address are the signs of the times, the main events of the last days, those things that are clear in Scripture. I want to say something about the millennium and also Judgment Day and how we are to live in light of the last days. And so 5 or 6 sermons in this series, that's what I have planned. Tonight, I just introduce the topic. Today, we will especially note what the last days are essentially all about. What are the last days all about? We turn then to our text from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. We start from the top. Martin, next slide, if you will. You can keep your Bibles open on your lap, too, as well, if you feel if that's wise for you. Hebrews 1, verse 1 says up there, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. Allow me to stop right there. The apostle says, in the past. What past? Well, he's talking about the Old Testament. Before Christ was born, and so we're talking a long time ago. The apostle says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers. What forefathers? Well, the Israelites, the Jews, the people of God of the Old Testament, Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and David, the people of Israel. The text says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Sure, in the Old Testament, God spoke to his people through the prophets, like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Balaam, David, lots of prophets. And he did so in all kinds of ways. Sometimes he did it just through speaking, through prophesying. And at other times he accompanied it through big and dramatic miracles. And so you get the Red Sea crossing, the sun standing still, a donkey, Balaam's donkey, right, speaking, special divine writing on the wall. Remember the story in Daniel where this hand appears and writes on the wall? In various ways and in different times, God spoke to the Old Testament people through the prophets. But in these last days, says the apostle, he has spoken to us by his Son. Let's think about those words. In these last days, he says. Notice assumption. This apostle is assuming that he's already in the last days. He doesn't say, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways, but in the future, in the last days of the future, he will speak to us by his Son. No, it's all rather, it's past tense. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The apostle is saying that he's living in the last days, which means we're living in the last days too. Maybe you're shocked by this. Maybe you thought the last days refers to that period of the very end of history, the last day or the last week or maybe the last decade before Christ returns. Not so. The last days have been around for a very long time now. The last days refer to all of New Testament history. So they begin with Christ's first coming. They include the time of the apostles, and then the Middle Ages, and the Reformation, the Industrial Revolution, the modern period. And they will continue until Christ returns. We're living, then, in the last days. Look at our text. The apostle writes, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. By his Son. Congregation, key to the last days is the Son. This is what the last days are all about. That's how we know we're in the last days. Christ has come. Christ came, he suffered, and he died to win our salvation. Then he went up high into heaven to become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. From there he poured out the Holy Spirit upon the church, and so he's coming again. So this is what the last days are all about. It's all about Jesus Christ. He has come, and he's coming again. What I'm saying corresponds with how the Old Testament understood the last days. When the Old Testament spoke about the last days, it was always about the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, we enter the last days. Now, it's true that in the Old Testament, we see no real distinction between his first coming and his second coming. In the Old Testament, these were combined into really one event, so to speak. And so they didn't talk about any separation between these two comings of Christ, separated by thousands of years. We know that now, but they generally did not. At least they didn't talk about it. When we read of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Joel and Amos, we find that the prophet describing Jesus Christ as the suffering servant. So there the prophets refer to his first coming. And then in the same breath, describe the new heavens and the new earth, where the lion sleeps with the lamb and the lion with the goat, his second coming. To us, these are two totally different events, but not to the Old Testament prophets. To them, it's all part of, it's all one package called the last days. That's because to them, it was all about the Messiah coming. The last days, from the beginning of it to the end, are about the Messiah. They're about Jesus Christ. They are about God's Son. That's what the last days are all about. It's about him. He's the focus. Not the earthquakes, and not the storms and the droughts and whatever else. No, the key, the focus, is Jesus Christ. And so we are living in the last days. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets of many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Congregation, did you know that we're living then in the last days? We are. Actually, Christ, he could return anytime. Are you ready? Do you see the signs of the times reminding us that we are in the last days? Congregation, it's obvious that living in these last days is not always easy. Maybe especially today, I don't know. Maybe especially in our culture, I don't know. Often we don't see evidence that Jesus is the king and that he's sitting on the throne. Sometimes we don't see any evidence of that at all, so it seems. Sometimes we wonder if we see the opposite, right? We see the apostasy in the world. People are leaving the faith in droves. We live in a post-Christian society now. Rampant atheism is on the rise. And all of this affects us. We too feel challenged. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we wonder if there's a God at all and if Christ is coming again. We doubt. We all have that. And of course, we were warned that this would happen in the last days. In 2 Peter 3, the apostle says that in the last days, people will say, so when is this Christ coming back? Are you sure he's coming back? Are you sure he's not dead? Are you sure he's really on the throne? That's what people will say, and that's what they do say now in these last days. And so we can expect some rough times in these last days, and maybe you do today. Maybe that's you. You read about what God all did in the Old Testament. I mean, he made the Red Sea come apart. He made the walls of Jericho come crashing down. He made the manna and the quail fall right out of heaven. He spoke through the prophets in all kinds of weird and wonderful ways. But not anymore, so it seems. Somehow God appears to be very quiet now, very distant now. We see hardly any miracles anymore. Okay, maybe in your own personal lives, we all talk about miracles in our lives, but we don't read about the miracles like they had in the Old Testament. And so we wonder and we begin to doubt. Congregation, it's actually in this context of doubt. It's in this context that the book of Hebrews was actually written. Allow me to explain what Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 4 is really all about. The apostle tells us that in the past, yeah, God spoke to our forefathers at many times and in various ways. And when he spoke, he did it in very profound ways. God did a lot of amazing things in the Old Testament age. But let's not misunderstand something. Says the apostle, but in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. In the last days that we have been living in for the past 2,000 years or so, it's not like God hasn't done or said anything at all. He did. He has spoken to us by his Son. And when he spoke in an unbelievable way, in a way that totally outshines anything that God ever spoke in the Old Testament age. God has spoken to us through his Son. And his Son accomplished amazing things. Jesus destroyed Satan on the cross. Jesus destroyed death in the resurrection. Jesus has defeated all the powers when he ascended on high. He continues to demolish strongholds when the gospel is preached around the world today. All this our God has done in Christ in these last days. Yet today, the last days can seem scary and tough, but please do not forget that God has spoken. He has spoken once and for all So no more prophecies, no more big miracles have to happen anymore, really, because Christ accomplished them all. They're all finished in Him. And so all we need to do now, all we need now is for Christ to come back, for Christ to return. Our Savior is truly amazing. He has accomplished so much for us. Did you read what Hebrews 1 to 4 all says about Christ? Maybe the last slide now there, Martin. I'll just read that again. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets of many times in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. The point? He's everything. Christ is everything. God has spoken to us in these last days through Him. And so now, we're just going to wait patiently. We wait now for His return. And while we wait, we may not see any big Red Sea partings. We may not see manna and quail falling out of the sky. We may not see some really, really, really big miracles right now. But don't you worry, they're all fulfilled now. Christ did it all in His first coming. And so now we wait. We live our obedient lives by grace through faith. We do our work. We raise our families. We worship. We go to church. We'll vote tomorrow. And we'll preach the gospel. We will continue to live in but not of the world. Oh, sometimes we will see little evidence that Christ is on the throne. Sometimes we will be persecuted. Sometimes we will struggle with doubt. But that's just part of the spiritual battle that will continue on in these last days. It's Satan living off of his adrenaline in the full knowledge that he's done and he's going down. He knows he's defeated and he can't handle it anymore. Poor, poor Satan. So our job is just to live by faith. Our job is to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and to live by His promises, to live by His word. The fact is, in these last days, our God has spoken. He has spoken to us through His own Son. He reigns. These last days are all about Him, and He's coming again. Let's praise His name. Amen.